Just a quick thing, if you read the Elijah list, it's just where a guy had a word this morning about of God just healing an orphan spirit. And real quick, the orphan spirit makes its victim anxious about provision and protection. That person expects failure, rejection, and abandonment. He feels out of place, unwanted, unappreciated, and alone. He is insecure about relationships and avoids genuine intimacy. He has trouble trusting others and is leery of those in authority. He embraces a victim mentality at times and interprets disagreement or correction as disapproval or disrespect, and on makes one critical and condemning of itself. Another thing he was speaking of is about even when Adam and Eve ran and they hid from the Lord, right? That's in us, you know, that we still have a tendency to run and hide from God's presence. And I really like what he said, the guy who wrote this. The Lord told me that when we hide from God, we're hiding from His goodness, right? And so a while back, the Lord began to speak to me about, you know, some aspects of this orphan spirit, and that I carried some of that, you know. And so I asked the Lord, I said, well, let's deal with it. You know, I want to get whatever this is out in my mentality. Not necessarily, he's not saying an actual demonic spirit, even though it can be there, but a spirit, right? How we react, how we feel, and stuff like that, even though it can be a demonic spirit. And so I just began this journey asking the Lord to begin to heal that thing. And what he began is just, you know, we study about the character of God, which will take all eternity, and we'll still be, right? You can't understand everything about God. But here's some scripture he started with me, and I've been stuck there. Last time I taught Bible, I think Mike Irwin will hear it again, but when I was taught Bible study, the Lord just began to give me and just speak these scriptures to me. If you want to turn to Exodus 33, and Exodus 33 is right after when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and the children of Israel built the calf. Remember that? And they started worshiping the calf. And he heard it on his way down. And the Lord speaks this word to Moses that even though he had told them that they're going into the promised land, that he would send an angel with them, but he himself wasn't going with them. And because he said they're obstinate, stiff-necked people, so I'm not going with them. So Moses, what he always does is he just went into the tent of meeting and met with the Lord, okay, about this situation. And so that's I'm not going to read a bunch of scripture to you, but we'll start in 33 at 12. And this was a conversation that Moses is having with the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you." That's always one of my favorite scripture, right? To know the ways of God. If we want to know God, we just have to know His ways. And thank goodness His ways are not our ways, right? Hallelujah. "So that I may find favor, let me know your ways that I may know you." Verse 13, "So that I may find favor in your sight, consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Always an amazing thing to me how Moses, more than one time in his conversation with God, God relented, right? And changed his mind. That's a lot of favor. I would love to have that kind of favor with God, wouldn't you? And he said, "My presence would go with you. I will give you rest." Verse 14. Then he said to him, Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we and I, your people, may be distinguished from all other people who are on the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." And Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory." And he said, I myself will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, or actually there is a place with me, and you shall stand here on the rock. It shall come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. And I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. It's a really cool thing. Kind of a picture there, Old Testament picture of us being eventually in Christ, right? And the rock and the crack of being there solid with the Lord. But anyway, it's interesting how he says, my glory, because you hear that a lot, especially in charismatics. We just say that a lot. Lord, show me your glory. We have songs about it, right? In the Old Testament, it would talk about the glory of the Lord filling the temple. So a lot of times we see that as maybe a cloud, like the glory is just the cloud. God's glory, you know, Jesus took him up in the cloud of glory. But it's mainly just a manifestation of the presence of God, real simply, okay? But I love that because when he said, you'll see my glory, this is what he said, all of my goodness will pass before you, right? So we can see some of the glory of God is the goodness of the Lord, right? Because when we say, Lord, show me your glory, we're asking them, show me your goodness, but there's more to it. And this is the in 34, quickly. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former ones. Because remember, Moses smashed them when they were worshiping the calf. So be ready by morning and come up in the mountain on Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of the mountain. So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones. And Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai. And the Lord commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Now this is the Lord passing by. Listen to this. It's the glory of God. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding, or full, in loving kindness and truth, or faithfulness. That word truth, it can also be interpreted as faithfulness. It was this interchangeable word, that God's truth is God's faithfulness. Okay, the truth about God is that He's faithful. So this is the glory of God in His character passing by, and this is what He says about Himself. This is who He is, all right? He's compassionate. He is gracious, full of grace, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. Okay? That's who He is. So as the Lord begins to heal these things within us, okay? Because a lot of times, if you're anything like me, I always viewed the God of the Old Testament so different than Jesus. Right? I could accept Jesus and be friend. He was cool, right? But the Father of the Old Testament, God of the Old Testament, just seemed a bit harsh, you know? But this is who He is. And everything that we understand or know about God has to flow from this, who He is. And we'll see in a minute, I'm going to explain some of these words, and I'm going to show you several places in the Old Testament where you can underline where the very same things are spoken about Him by different people, okay, that knew the Lord. All right, the first word He talks about is being compassionate, right? And I'm just going to give you some of the Hebrew word for that. The same word, when as interpreted, is always of God. All right, it's not just something He manifests here and there. It's a part of Him. It's always about Him. Okay. It's the same love that a parent has for a child. The same word is used. The love that you have for a child, to show concern, to be tender-hearted, to show great mercy, to act kindly, to show pity, and the very acts of love and kindness is that word compassionate. Okay? Now think about this. When you think about God, right, for your own personal life, do you think about those things, of Him viewing you that way? Right? It's easy to say, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of the King, I'm in, all that kind of stuff, right? But we need to get that in our heart, that God is, in dealing with you and me, in dealing in our relationship with us, is that He's very compassionate, right? I'm not very compassionate with myself, If I'm not that way, I really don't think that God's looks at me that way. Okay? Cool word. The next one, he says, He's gracious. And that word just literally means to exercise grace or dispense grace. A person is gracious, that means pouring out for them is dispensing is grace. That God is full of grace. Remember our working definition? I say it's working because we're still adding more to it all the time. God's limitless and continual acceptance. And let's just make it personal. God's limitless and continual acceptance of you. His limitless and continual affection to you. That God has affection toward you. Right? His ability to you. The grace of God is God's ability released to you. And activity. His activity to you is the grace of God. As a free gift, flowing from His goodness toward you, in you, and through you. Once again, if you're writing this down, God's limitless and continual acceptance, affection, His ability, activity, as a free gift flowing from His goodness toward you, in you, and through you. It's the goodness of God. Okay? Compassionate, slow to anger, which we think He's quick to anger sometimes, right? You always think God's mad at you or angry with you, right? He's really slow to anger. Takes a while. The loving kindness. And this is the word loving kindness used in Hebrew in the Old Testament is used meaning all of this in various ways. His devotion to you. His devotion is totally devoted to you. His covenant loyalty to you. He's in covenant with you. He's bound Himself to be loyal to you in this covenant. He's loyal, like He's loyal to Jamie. Because He's in covenant with Jamie. He's devoted to Jamie. I don't know why I'm picking you out. You just like that. You need to be picked on, right? His faithfulness. His favor to you. His goodness, His kindness, His mercy, once again, is used for that. His unchanging love and His deeds. Not only is He devoted to you, but it's also used as His deeds of devotion to you. That's all in the loving kindness of God, who He is, right? Isn't that cool? And His faithfulness. Or truth, faithfulness. Again, that word in the Old Testament is used. It's just interchanged. I mean, truth is faithfulness, meaning His reliability to you, His sureness, stability, and His continuance that never stops. And all of these words are, again, in their language, it wasn't just something He would choose to do at times. It made up who He is. Right? It all, falls under God is love. It all falls under that. Okay? This is who He is. Okay. I'll show you how many times. It's going to be just a few verses, so don't panic. It'll be a short sermon. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verse 9. This is Hezekiah writing this. And he sent this letter out to all these people, okay? And this is what he says in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. If you return to the Lord, your brothers and sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn His face away from you if you return to Him. Right? That's good news. All right? How many of you have ever had times, everybody in here, including myself, will have times of returning to the Lord. Right? You'll have times of drifting and you'll have times of returning. And this is what you always find when you return to the Lord. That He's totally accepting, He's compassionate, and He's gracious, full of grace. He pours out His grace and He pours out compassion on you. Right? All right. Nehemiah. Over to the right, a couple of books. Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 17. All right. They refused to listen, did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. And they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness. You're gracious. You're compassionate. You're slow to anger, and you're abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. Right? Turn over to verse 31 of the same chapter of Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah repenting on behalf of all the people. Okay? Nevertheless, verse 31, in your great compassion, you did not make an end of them or forsake them. For you are a gracious and compassionate God. Amen. All right. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 5 and verse 15. For you, Lord, are good and you're ready to forgive. The word literally means anxious to forgive. He's good and so anxious to forgive. Ready to forgive. Don't you wish we were all like that? Yeah. That you're always anxious to forgive people. Ready. Gosh, I can't wait to forgive them. That's who He is, y'all. Right? When I said He's so different than us, that's just not a part of us, is it? He's good, ready to forgive, abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Verse 15 of that same chapter. But you, Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. Okay? And that's David. All right, Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Okay? If you want to write these down, I got two more. I'm going to give them to you and you can write them down. Psalm 111:4. Psalm 111:4. Is basically the same thing. And 145:8-9. Psalm 145:8-9. All right. Now turn over to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Now, this is Joel speaking, of course. Joel 2:13, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. All right, one more. Jonah, the book of Jonah. Chapter 4. This is one of my favorite. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. This is after Nineveh repents. He preaches, remember, to Nineveh, and they repent, and he's mad. Okay? It greatly displeased Jonah that they repented. You know, and I've ran into that several times in ministry. When someone does somebody wrong, or they've been praying for their mate, you know, or there may have been, you know, something that happened there, and they repent. Okay? They come to the Lord, and then they get mad at them for doing that. They get mad because they're not paying for what they've done. Right? You ever been there with anybody? They repent, and you get mad because they repent, and you think, well, they're not paying for what they did, you know? That just shows you how far off we are, right? I love this. And he prayed to the Lord, saying, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country when the Lord first called him to do this? He was mad, and he ran from the Lord. And he fled, therefore, and to forestall this, I fled from you. Getting on the ship. For I knew that you're gracious and a compassionate God. I knew that you're slow to anger, and I know that you're abundance in loving kindness. And you know, and you relent concerning calamity. And it made him mad. He fled because he knew that about God. And he didn't want to go there. Because he did not want these people to repent. Because he didn't like them. Right? But just showing you so many places in the Old Testament, just revealing who God is. And Jesus explained God. And it's become part of my prayer every day when I wake up. And I challenge you too. Just to proclaim that about who God is. And use whichever verse I've given you. Or maybe you have one of your own. Wake up and say, Lord, I thank you that you're compassionate and you're gracious. Thank you that you're slow to anger. And you're abounding, you're abundant. I mean, that just means, you know, the universe is full of your loving kindness and your faithfulness to me. Make it personal. Right? It'll change the way you begin to think about God and about all those thoughts from the evil one. Because see, when the enemy was cast out, he was the first one with an orphan spirit. Right? Satan was. So he comes to you and he will make you feel that God has abandoned you. He doesn't care about you. That you've done so many things that makes him angry with you. Right? And you've just done this so much that there's no way he could have compassion on you this time. He's not very devoted to you because other people hadn't been devoted to you. Other people have broken covenant with you and abandoned you. See what I mean? Constant harassing, right? Accusing the brethren. What do you think he accuses us of? All of this that's contrary to God's character, right? But when you start praying that, I'm telling you, it'll get in your spirit, right? That's the reason people prayed the Nicene Creed early. That's just a place. Nicaea was a place, right? The creed is what the church believed from the beginning. It got in them. That's what they believed. Because there's so much heresy out there, so many heretical teachings. It got in them as being the truth, right? So this can get in you as being truth. It's when you encounter the presence of God, that's what you encounter, because it is who He is. He can't help but be that. That's who God is. You encounter His grace pouring out, His loving kindness, His covenant, all those things that I read to you, and even more. Right? So it's my prayer and my prayer to you. Make up your own prayer about that. Wake up in the morning. Pray that the first thing that you pray. Let that be on your mind when you first wake up. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to have Mr. and Ms. Craig Friday with us here. Man, congratulations, Jay. Amen. We'll just stand together and proclaim our faith.